proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. I'm your host Aaron Broughton. It's my delight to be with you today. Some of you may know that IBJM publishes a quarterly magazine called The Everlasting Nation. If you do not receive this magazine, I encourage you to contact us here at IBJM to subscribe or obtain a sample copy. Recently, one issue of the magazine dealt with the important topic of the rise of anti-Semitism. Today, I want to share with you one of these articles. So let's now discuss an intriguing topic, asking the question, was Nazi anti-Semitism unique? The aftermath of World War II gave mankind pause to reflect on the tragedy. As one historian said, while the world was counting the dead, the Jews were counting the living. 6 million Jewish souls perished. Out of that, 1.5 million were children. Anti-Semitism has been called the world's oldest hatred. Yet the Holocaust brought the trend of anti-Semitism to horrific depths. But was the Holocaust just another chapter of anti-Semitism? Or was the Holocaust something unique? The Roman historian Tacitus recognized that hatred for the Jewish people came from two main reasons. Number one was the Jewish religion, and secondly, Jewish customs. Additionally, historic anti-Semitism has regarded the Jewish people either as subhuman or superhuman. The Crusades, the Inquisition, the Russian pogroms displayed this very well. Adolf Hitler added a third element to anti-Semitism, a nationalistic or racial reason. After suffering defeat in World War I, the Treaty of Versailles severely affected the German economy, military, and society. Many blamed the Jewish people for this treaty, even though over 100,000 bravely served in the German army during the war. Even so, the slogan, "The Jews are our misfortune," was frequently heard as the Jews became the convenient scapegoat. The Germans were looking for a savior to throw off the pains of the past. The time was ripe for a new party to emerge. In 1924, Adolf Hitler sat in the Landsberg prison for treason. Here he wrote his autobiography, Mein Kampf, German for My Struggle. In it, he expressed his Nazi ideology and belief the Jewish people were racially inferior. For example, he wrote, "If the Jew is victorious over the other peoples of the world, his crown will be the funeral wreath of humanity. Hence today, I believe that I am acting in accordance with the will of the Almighty Creator. By defending myself against the Jew, I am fighting for the work of the Lord." In his view, the Germans and the Jews could not exist together. Hitler saw himself as the savior of the German people, wearing the victor's crown, ushering in the thousand-year Reich. This perspective has been referred to as redemptive anti-Semitism by historians who have sought to answer Hitler's obsession with the annihilation of the Jewish people. But let us ask, would anyone stand up for truth? In the 1930s, many people went to Nazi rallies as skeptics, but came away as fanatics. Nazi propaganda fueled the flames of Nazi ideology, and what began as a minority soon became a powerful majority. A pyramid of hate was being built with a foundation of prejudiced attitudes that climaxed to genocide. Many undesirables, such as Roma, Sinti, Poles, and others, were also caught in the Nazi death machine. However, historians have pointed out, while not all victims were Jews, all Jews were victims. Who would stand for the Jewish people? Before World War II, many nations, including the United States, closed their doors to Jewish refugees. In fact, before the war, President Franklin D. Roosevelt called for an international conference in order to deal with the refugee crisis. Delegates from 32 countries met at the Evian Conference in France and condemned Germany for its treatment of the Jews. Ironically, almost every country represented refused to welcome refugees. Only the Dominican Republic offered to take in refugees. Also, many Christian denominations were generally apathetic to the Jewish struggle, with little done for relief or rescue efforts. Glimmers of hope began to emerge as thousands of righteous Gentiles risked their lives to help the Jewish people. These heroes serve as examples for every believer to stand for truth in the darkest night. Hitler ultimately failed, yet the scars of his anti-Semitism bear witness to the evil that must be challenged at all costs. I want to thank you for tuning into this program as we have discussed the intriguing subject of the uniqueness of Nazi anti-Semitism. Again, this is from an article recently published in IBJM's quarterly magazine, The Everlasting Nation. If you'd like to obtain your copy of this magazine or desire to hear this program again, simply visit us at ibjm.org. You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.